Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, final hour of the program here on the show with Garrett Ritt dropping Rittisms in my ear.
Game on.
There, that's exactly what he just said to me. Not in as high a voice, though. Tom DiBenedetto, also, of course, hanging out. Familiar face for me before was here. Produced me on the show I do in the mornings on CBS Sports Radio, Ryder Than You.
Count Chocula.
That's so funny. Sorry, Tom. It is really, really funny. And Stuart Kovacs, the dean of New York City, the king of the clubs, back in Manhattan. If you ever go to the city and you want access to the spoils of social New York, young person's New York, Stu is the golden ticket. And Tom DeCelestino also helping out. We are, by the way, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. Again, 1-800-636-8686. RomanHeavyTake.com at Jim Rome. JimRome.com. You can hit me up, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. So, yes, USA Basketball, based on the, I think, very legitimate standards that they've set for themselves, is an embarrassment so far. Doesn't mean it's over. Doesn't mean it's not done. They're still favorites. They can still just go on a tear. They're still the most talented team on the face of the earth. But that loss to France, coupled with those poor performances in the exhibitions that led to this reality in Tokyo that we are no longer unbeatable. This first loss, going back, I think, to 2004 at this level of play that actually counts, is really, really hard to stomach for those of us that are accustomed to dominating the sport internationally in a serious way. And I think there's lots of room for criticism of the team, of Greg Popovich. Pop's amazing, but the level of arrogance, if you saw this, and it was hard to focus maybe on some of the exhibition games because the NBA Finals were going on, but as USA Basketball, as our team, as our American team, played poorly in the exhibition games, and people asked questions about it, legitimate questions, Popovich was dismissive and was put out and acted as if the notion of criticizing the team was ridiculous. And here we are, not what we used to be. And I'm sure a lot of people around sports media today, and I've certainly read this, are going to talk about, continue to write about, tweet about what an embarrassment we are and how terrible we are and all of that. And I get it. But for me, the takeaway is a little bit different. I think that what you're seeing from France, from Spain, I mean, Luka Doncic, and this does cut in, there's no excuse where these guys are tired. Luka Doncic is tired and dropped 48 points in his first international, his first Olympic competition game, a game that actually counts for the Olympics. But this rising excellence international basketball, ironically, France beating the United States, it's an embarrassment for the country, but it's also a testament to our excellence. In its own way, it actually speaks not just to the disappointment of the moment, and I'm disappointed along with the rest of the country. I mean, hell, I'm watching table tennis. Literally, I was watching table tennis in Milwaukee, and I was late to a thing I was supposed to be at for the wedding because I got obsessed with the table tennis match. All these Olympic sports are amazing. If it has an American flag next to it, I'm emotionally invested. So certainly in basketball, it's disappointing. It's also a testament to what we built. The reality is that the great geniuses, those that truly dominate, those that are overwhelmingly innovative, eventually create the thing that takes them down. You create your own Frankenstein. IBM once dominated 100% the technology business in American culture, and they've been replaced. And someday, when Elon Musk is bored or Jeff Bezos are bored or they're playing spades on Mars, one of the 11 people who live there and seeing out their final days there, some other kid's going to be doing better things going to some other planet. He is. And this has been true in sports before, too. There's a bunch of examples, but the way that Team USA, and I don't mean this team, I mean the Dream Team and beyond that, created and seeded a love for basketball and a kind of excellence that has now risen up and embarrassed Team USA in Tokyo, our ability to be so inspiring and so great that we helped create the thing that was going to challenge us. We've seen this in other sports. Golf is a great example. Tiger Woods, however things ended, the car wreck now, the issues with his wife, the one major in between that beautiful, beautiful win at Augusta. Part of the problem for Tiger, right? There were stretches before he reclaimed his form that one time at Augusta. There were stretches where Tiger Woods was the number one player in the world, where he looked capable. And we would talk all the time about how in the past, in the heydays of Tiger, when he wore red on a Sunday, especially in a major, nobody could beat him because everybody would blink. And this new generation of players didn't blink. They had a different swagger. They had a different confidence. They weren't afraid of him. Not because they didn't respect Tiger Woods, but because they became golfers and the kind of golfers they became because of Tiger Woods. I was texting a few guys today who are in the golf media business just to get a perspective on this. Just to make sure I was right, I said, can you give me some names? I think I know them, but you're the experts. I try to do this. I try to report some of the things I talk about on this show and on the show that I do. Give me some names of guys who held Tiger back, who legitimately cost him some glory that Tiger was responsible for creating the way USA Basketball created France and others. And they wrote back couple of them, the two I reached out to. I'll read you one of the two. It's pretty much the entire generation. And there's name, there's Spieth, Markow, all these guys. Tiger Woods was going to face a more formidable end to his career because he was so inspiring and dominant that people saw that and said, oh, the bar is higher. The standard for glory and all the things it can reap are well beyond what I thought. Let's go for it. Same again, I'm going to give you a few examples. Same thing happened in the UFC. And I know Jim loves the sport. I love the sport. I covered it briefly 6 months, 7 or 8, 9 years ago when Dana White was still not. And I love Dana White. But when he would hang out with someone like me in Vegas, like, you right for what? I don't care. Come on over. Let's party. And I was there and covering Ronda Rousey during really the beginning. Not that other women weren't competing in MMA, but she became this transcendent star. Wealthy, famous, celebrated, worthy of time and attention in that space, in that octagon. And for a time, for a long time, she felt unbeatable. She really did. The problem was, and if you talk to some of the folks who went and kicked her, you know what, they'll tell you this. Women who were sort of training or saw this and thought, oh, this is actually what's possible. I can be as significant in this sport to men as women in golf or tennis or whatever the comparison is. And so this line of female fighters arose and inspired by Rousey. And really, at the end, and the end of her career was embarrassing. I mean, it was. But she created that thing. Like, it was a Frankenstein. It was the thing that literally beat her again and again and again, physically, metaphorically, she had created. And that's what's going on right now for USA Basketball. So there's going to be a day, if Shohei Ohtani, A, can stay healthy, and B, never does the home run derby again. Can I just do a quick aside? Never do the home run derby. I've had so many players tell me this, especially when I was doing local radio in L.A. at the Dodgers radio network station. They own it. So we'd have a lot of guys on. And they would just say, not all, but a lot, don't do the home run derby. It'll screw your swing up. Jock Peterson has not been the same player since he was in the home run derby. Shohei's been in a slump since the home run derby. But okay, so stay healthy, Shohei, and don't do the home run derby for this to play out. There's going to be a day, I think this is true, in 10 or 11 years, where Shohei is, you know, still pretty good. Maybe he's Verlander on the mound, right? He's going 4 or 5 innings, and he's a pretty good hitter. Maybe he's Pujols with the Dodgers, and some kid, some obnoxious punk, is going to strike him out 3 times and hit 2 home runs off him in the same game. And it's going to feel like the end of Shohei when it's really just the continuation of this thing that he created. So yeah, Greg Popovich, let's serve up some criticism. Be better. Do a better job. Get the ball down low, as somebody, one of the clones said, one of you guys said when you called in earlier at 1-800-636-8686. Kevin Durant, hit a shot for the love of, if not all that is holy, at least what is red, white, and blue. But it's not like they're playing France from 20 years ago. France is a legitimate basketball power. Spain is a legitimate basketball power. I'm not about to take a shot at Slovenia. I'm not. But in what universe would anyone have ever been worried about ever Slovenia in, I'm not going to say any sport, but in basketball? Well, Luka Doncic is one of the most remarkable players on the face of the earth. You know, Dirk Nowitzki talked about this. And remember, Dirk in his own way inspired a generation of players internationally. That dream team seeded an entire world away from the United States of athletes who thought, you know what, maybe it's not soccer. Maybe it is basketball. And a perfect example of that is the best player on earth right now in Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis was literally playing soccer in Greece as a 13-year-old when someone saw him and said, basketball. That conversation would not have happened 30 years ago. It just wouldn't have. The standard has changed. The degree of excellence for America to win gold. Forget dominate. We're not beating teams by 60 points anymore. We don't get to be the Harlem Globetrotters at whatever Olympics are going on, the Tokyo Olympics or any others, and just waltz our way to victory. International basketball is really good and really impressive. It's full of tons of talent, NBA talent. I mean, every single international team, for the most part, has and features NBA players. Some of them you haven't heard of. Some are guys off the bench. I mean, part of the reason Luka Doncic is so good at what he does and so ahead of schedule, and not just in Olympic play, but in the NBA, is because he played in Europe, where even those leagues have become markedly better because United States of America's dominant team seeded this. So I have two minds on this. Yes, I expect USA basketball to win and to play better and to hit shots and to represent this country in our game. That's our game, man. Look, in the games that aren't our games, I still want to win. Do I think that our soccer team is going to win the World Cup when that rolls around? I don't. It's not our game. But let's go get it anyway. Let's go do it. Basketball's ours. We invented this game. We dominated this game. We exported this game to the rest of the world. It's a beautiful game. And they listen. They fell in love with Michael Jordan. They fell in love with the Dream Team. They continued to watch. They watch guys like Dirk do their thing. And now you have every single year, and the NBA draft is a few days from now, a ton of players who are from other parts of the world. Guys who are winning MVPs, winning awards, being all NBA superstars, who are a part of the reality that Greg Popovich and his guys need to face up to right now. You have to play your best basketball. You have to take it seriously every single moment. I get so frustrated when guys like Greg Popovich lecture reporters with words like, you need to take the other team seriously. No, actually, we don't. That's not my job. That's your job, bro. You take the other team seriously and beat them. And when you don't, I'll ask you why you didn't. That's the role reversal. If you don't want that, you get down from the podium, sit your ass here, and I'll go up there and talk about it. Greg Popovich, you don't respect them. No, man. Your team didn't respect them, which is why you just got your you-know-what kicked. I guess I can say got your ass kicked. I just said a second ago. It was a little weird, wasn't it? Yeah. So, yes, lots of criticism for this team. Be better, play harder, take these guys seriously. And credit to France and credit to all these other countries who have great teams. But we did this. I mean, this is a reflection of, it's a consequence of something that USA Basketball created. So even though I don't love it, and I really wish we'd beaten France, I also felt a little bit of pride in the fact that this sport is better and harder and seeded with more talent and more difficult to dominate. Forget dominate. It is more difficult to just win medaling internationally because of the United States of America's basketball program. And everyone in the world gets that except Greg Popovich so far in USA Basketball. I hope they figured it out. All right, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to give us a call, rome@haveatake.com, at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. You can hit me up, sports writer, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Got to talk some football. I love this business, what a small world it is. Kirk Morrison and I, Kirk, former Raider, Rams analyst, great guy, San Diego State Hall of Famer, former linebacker. We did radio together. He's such a good dude. So it's really cool years later that I'm hosting this show and he gets to come on and share some NFL wisdom. We'll do that We'll talk some Shield. We'll talk some Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk some Rams and some Raiders next year on the Jim Rome Show. Show Bill Ryder with you, filling in. Show is flying by today, probably because DiBenedetto and Red are awesome. Stuart Kovacs hang out in New York City. Tom DeCelestino as well. Tom DeCelestino and Tom DiBenedetto is pretty confusing. By the way, 1-800-636-8686, RomeAtHaveItTake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. As I just mentioned, I love this business. You meet great people, and it's a small world in the radio business. And I had the great pleasure to do a radio show with Kirk Morrison for a long time, several years ago. And Kirk, super talented guy, going to join us in a few minutes. And now doing Rams pre- and post-game on the radio. Give us some insight into that team and what they're about. I'm not a doubter of the Rams. I'm really curious how Stafford is going to fit in. I do think it's one extreme or the other. He's either, as Will Brinson said, a Hall of Famer if he gets three or four great years with the Rams and he just rolls. But I've seen that story with Kirk Cousins too. Incredible defense, a lot of weapons. They did lose Cam Akers for the year to injury. And to get some insight on that is my buddy, Kirk Morrison. Kirk, what's up, buddy? Happy July. I don't even know what to say. What's going on, dude?
What's up, Bill? Good to speak with you. Football season, it is here. Training camps are opening up. Rookies report, veterans reporting. And, you know, the big day is just a couple days away from when everyone will be in training camp. We'll have 2 weeks to relax, about two and a half weeks to relax. And then, man, the part that I have to tell my wife, Bill, it's always the hardest part of the year, is that, hey, babe, football every weekend until Valentine's Day. It's the hardest part, man. So she's not going to be happy knowing that football will be every weekend until Valentine's Day. So
that's the best part for me. Job. She's Lori's every year. Wait, so part of your job, you have to start drinking beer at 9, 10? Yeah, baby, it's part of the. I got to watch the game. I got to drink it. I don't want to drink this beer and watch football all day, but I have to do this for the job. I'm with Kirk Morrison. I am with you. I want to hit Rams in a second, but let's dive into Aaron Rodgers and the big story. It sounds like there's a rising expectation he's going to be a Packer this year. What is your sense of what that deal looks like if Rodgers rolls in as a reluctant but present quarterback for the Packers this season?
You know, honestly, it's been the same thing all offseason. There was not 1 minute where I thought Aaron Rodgers would be traded. I thought that just the salary cap numbers, just his contract, he was going to be back with Green Bay no matter what. I still believe that wholeheartedly. There is no trade. I just never thought that was going to be. But I think what made it even more clear for me, Bill, was last week when he and Davante Adams tweeted that picture of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. And I know you, as a growing up of, you know, Bulls fan and watching Chicago sports, that Last Dance documentary was one that we all remember what happened. It was Michael Jordan's last season in Chicago, and I really felt that that was the message that Aaron Rodgers was telling everybody, which I kind of believed from the beginning. This is last year in Green Bay. The economics of the NFL tell me that Jordan Love needs a year or two to be able to evaluate and see if he's the quarterback of the future. The only way you do that is you got to get rid of the guy who's in there now. So I felt there was always going to be a divorce, but how messy would it get? Aaron Rodgers made it really messy this offseason. And look, this is going to be his last year in Green Bay. He can walk around, have a farewell tour, you know, tell the fans and wish them all great luck. He probably won't say this publicly, but I think I've always felt that it was a growing sense that this was his last year in Green Bay, and he's going to do everything in his power to make it as difficult for the Green Bay Packers organization.
Kirk Morrison here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder. All right, Kirk, so Matthew Stafford plus Sean McVay equals what?
championship or bust. That's what it equals. It equals, hey, the marriage that Sean McVay wanted probably from the beginning, it's finally happened. I mean, if we're watching Ben Affleck and J-Lo finally reconnect, you know what I mean? If that's happening in our world, then we got to think that, you know, obviously Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford is going to have a similar type of relationship in terms of longevity, in terms of, you know, finally, I think, a quarterback that Sean McVay always wanted from the beginning. People have to always remember, he inherited Jared Goff. He didn't draft Jared Goff. He inherited Jared Goff, and he turned him into a pretty good, you know, quarterback, and had him having, you know, career years, and he sort of sputtered over the last couple seasons. Finally, he has the guy that we think can unleash that playbook. The playbook has been there, and it's been great so far, but now having a guy that he can call every play in the playbook, and he has a feeling that Matthew Stafford can make the right decision on every play. I'm excited to go see some Rams training camp and the regular season, because it is championship or bust for those two. That's what that relationship means to me, Bill. They're championship or bust, because think about it, Jared Goff got him to a Super Bowl. That's kind of the expectation for Matthew Stafford as well.
Kirk Morrison reminded me why we might be in a simulation. Another reason, Ben Affleck and J-Lo are a real thing in 2021. All right, so yes, There's going to be injuries. It's part of the deal. Early, unfortunately, for the Rams with Cam Akers, and it sounds like the season. What happens at the running back position for L.A. this year?
Honestly, just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath for the Rams right now. Don't make any decisions right now so quickly. Just kind of see what you have there. I mean, Daryl Henderson actually, to me, at times was the best back on the Rams team last year. It's just Cam Akers started the season. He got hurt. He got healthy along the way as Daryl Henderson kind of got banged up. But Daryl Henderson was always the guy that we felt that sometimes he may be the best back. Now, like I said, the injuries hurt him for a bit of his career so far, but I want to see him in that lead role, and I'll see what he can do early on. Then I'll throw a couple names at you, Bill. You got Xavier Jones. He's an undrafted free agent a couple years ago out of SMU, who I covered, playing over under Sonny Dykes. Then you have a Raymond Calais. He also was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a year ago, was released out of training camp, and the Rams picked him up. And so, and they also drafted a kid by the name of, I love this by name, by the way, Jake Funk, right? Bringing the funk with Jake Funk. He's a late round pick out of Maryland. So the Rams are going to see what their young group is going to look like. There's not a much of a veteran presence there. I'm fully copywriting this nickname right now, Bill. I'm going to call them the Pow Patrol group, because it's a bunch of young pups in the backfield for the Rams. So I'm going to see what this Pow Patrol group of running backs can do. And I think you can make a better assessment at the end of training camp. Will they need to bring in a veteran presence or keep what they have?
Kirk Morrison, you played a huge chunk of your very successful career with the Raiders. And it just feels like, for whatever reason, a lot of the optimism and enthusiasm is petered out. It doesn't help that the Chiefs are suddenly one of the best teams in football. It doesn't help the Chargers have discovered in this quarterback they have an absolute, looks like, future star in the league. But all that said, all that nice stuff said, are we getting to put up or shut up time for John Gruden?
He's still got a 10-year contract.
I know he does.
We're only going year four. We're not even halfway through the deal, man.
You know,
10-year contracts are hard to break, and obviously there has to be some sort of language in that contract for the two sides if they want to come to an understanding that they need to part ways. But right now, I think this is another year where someone's going to have to fall on the sword, and if the team does not perform well, I think that it will be Mike Mayock. It will never be Gruden, right? It just will never be Gruden. I love John to death, man, but it won't be Gruden. It'll probably be Mayock, and then after that season, you get one more year, and then after that, it's just like, okay, John, it's on you now, right? So the success of the Raiders this year will finally put people at ease, because I think this is probably one of the best teams that they've had under Gruden since he's been back, finally. But at the same time, if you don't get those results, especially now having fans at that brand new stadium in Vegas, it's a different. Last year you kind of get a pass, right, Bill, because there was no fans. You're still excited, but you just didn't feel like it was whole. This year, with the fans being back, more passion, a full season, 17 games over 18 weeks, it is put up or shut up time for John Gruden and the Raiders. And if they don't take care of business this year, There'll be some guys that will, like I said, have to fall on the sword.
Kirk Morrison on the show. Is it time to maybe, if you're Gruden, think about a different quarterback, a quarterback of the future, some sort of plan that is not this, and no disrespect to Derek Carr, but some plan that's not him?
No, I don't know if you can do that yet, right? I think that this is something that you have to wait it out, because Derek Carr, to me, last year showed that he wasn't the problem. It was a horrible defense. And I thought what happens is the quarterback gets links to wins and losses. And yet that Raider defense, you couldn't win anything. They couldn't stop a nosebleed last year, Bill. It was that bad. And so we'll see what happens with Derek this year, because in a year which they felt that they upgraded the defense, they spent a lot of money in the offseason free agency, bringing in Yannick Ngakoue. They brought in Casey Hayward over from the Chargers. They brought in guys who they think they can compete and get this Raiders defense from being at the bottom to at least the middle. If they get it to the middle, they think that that's enough that Derek Carr should be able to win football games and get this team to the playoffs. If they don't get to the playoffs, you have to start thinking about possibly what could be the future of this team. Because remember, Derek Carr's going to want a new contract. He's seeing what's going on with these young quarterbacks, the Josh Allens and, you know, obviously Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield. He wants to keep his contract up there along with them. So this is a big year for Derek Carr just as well, because do the Raiders re-sign him or sign him to an extension? A lot rides for a lot of people in this season.
Kirk, I don't think we've talked about Urban Meyer. I'm a doubter. I'm certainly Urban Meyer agnostic when it comes to the certainty of his excellence. So where do you – we haven't had this talk. What is your guess, your view, your perspective on how Urban Meyer is going to fare in the National Football League?
Well, first off, I love Herb, by the way. Herb has been a guy that I had a chance to compete with and been to a couple of Mountain West Conference media days. And just when he was at Utah, I was at San Diego State. He voted for me for Defensive Player of the Year, so I always thank him for that. But anyway, I always say this. Urban Meyer, it brings a culture no matter where he's at. He's done it at Bowling Green. He's done it, you know, obviously at Utah, Florida, Ohio State. He brings competition. He brings the most out of his coaches and his players. And from the guys that I've talked to on staff, I think that he's built a good staff to get these guys competing every single day, doing more than what's expected of them. And I think that they're going to shock some people. Not like they're going to be a playoff team, but they are going to be a team that I think will be coached well, will play hard, and it's not going to be an easy out when you're going against the Jaguars. I think he'll have some success. But this year is going to be a growing pains for him, because he has to get adjusted to the NFL style of coaching, the NFL style of rules. And we already see he's gotten into some trouble already with the offseason OTAs, you know, going a little bit too hard. But he'll adjust. And I think once he finally adjusts, you can see the Jaguars start to get incrementally better and be one of those teams that can contend for an AFC South title in the next couple years.
All right, Kirk Morrison here on the Jim Rome Show. Last one for you. We can all be guilty of being captives of the moment. That certainly includes me. So trying to have a little patience and perspective with the New England Patriots, who obviously did not fare as well last year as their former quarterback's new team. They've spent a bunch of money in free agency. They've got important guys who opted out last year. They have both Cam Newton back and a quarterback in Mac Jones they drafted. What do you think the Patriots show us this season?
I mean, they're one of my I don't feel like I can call them a dark horse team. Like, I really think they're a good football team. Are they better than the Buffalo Bills this year? I don't think so. But I look at right now, the Dolphins and the Patriots are the two teams that are really scary for me in the AFC. I mean, the juggernaut of the AFC North, and you think about it, you know, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh, those three teams. Obviously, the AFC South with the Colts and the Tennessee Titans. And then the AFC West, we just mentioned the Raiders, the Chargers, I think they'll be better with Justin Herbert. Obviously, Kansas City still at the top. So it's like, where does the Patriots fit into this? And I think they're the team that no one's talking about, that I don't know if they're a division winner, but I think that they're a team that honestly will make the playoffs and make some noise. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them be a division round team or even get into an AFC championship game. Cam Newton, his second year within that offense, what they've spent this offseason, we forget about the moves with David Njoku Jonnu Smith, tight end, and then also bringing in Hunter Henry as well. They've made a lot of moves, guys coming back from opting out last year. They bring Trent Brown in. I'm not trying to sound too excited, Bill, but I just think we'll see a much better performance than we saw last year from the Patriots. And it really honestly wasn't that bad. I think they'll just be a lot better this year and be a team that can definitely, you blink, next thing you know, they're in an AFC championship game.
Kirk Morrison on the Jim Rome Show. Kirk, appreciate you. And next time we talk, by the time that happens, just because I like you and you're my friend, I hope Bradley Beal has been traded to your Warriors.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, Bill. Hey, any help that we can get, man, any help that we can get. Right now, Draymond just need to get some wins for Team USA, first of all. Come on, Draymond.
Come on, Draymond is right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, Kirk.
All good, Bill. Anytime, brother. Have a good one.
All right, dude, you too. Kirk Morrison, great guy. On Twitter at Kirk Morrison, Rams pre- and post-game analyst, radio host, former NFL player, San Diego State Hall of Famer. I like Kirk a lot. Come on, Draymond. Get some wins. All right. Yeah, let's do this. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-636-8686. RomanHeavyTake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. I'm Bill Ryder. We'll close out the show. A little more Aaron Rodgers talk after we get this CBS Sports Radio update from Erica Herskowitz.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show on this Monday. Bill Ryder filling in, hanging out. What's up? Some thank yous. Just heard Kirk Morrison come on. Former Raider, Rams analyst. Great guy. Kirk, thanks for making time. Same to Will Middlebrooks, my colleague over at CBS Sports HQ. World Series champion, former big leaguer. Just found out today from Texarkana. Lived in Arkansas for two awesome... Arkansas's awesome. Two great years. Thanks to Will Brinson for being on the show. Brinson's hilarious and cool. We appreciate his insight. Speaking of hilarious and cool, there's Ritt. Garrett Ritt. That's it.
Finally.
Finally. Love seeing that dude hanging out. My fellow Cubs fan, Tom DiBenedetto. My former producer here now on the Jim Rome Show. Awesome, awesome guys. You're all learning. Count Chocula, I believe, is the moniker that has been offered up. Thank you to Stuart Kovacs back in New York City. Stu, also a former producer of mine. Great, great guy also. Everyone's waiting for the joke, but that's it. He's just a good dude. And my current producer, Tom DeCelestino. Appreciate all those guys, all their hard work. And let me say this. I also just loved the opportunity in filling in for Jim, I guess the last 2 years, to get to know Adam Hawk, who is a great guy and a talented guy, and wishing him well. And I plan to finally have that long-awaited tennis match with him. And I will report back how that goes, only if it goes well for me. It's time to answer... No, either way, I'll report back. Time to answer your Ask the Pros question. Were you the clones? Get to submit a question at cbsportsradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. What is the worst job you've ever had? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. One of them was a radio show, but I don't think that it's on the list. Worst job. I've had a lot of jobs. My parents made me get a job when I was 13 or 14 years old, and I worked 40 hours a week through a lot of high school, certainly in the summers and sometimes non-summers. Bishop's Buffet. I don't even know if it's still there. It was in Dubuque, Iowa at the mall. It was a buffet. And what they would do, the guys who worked there, I found this out the first time I went to the bathroom. They would bum rush you when you went to the bathroom, turn the lights off with wet towels, and you can snap it. And they would snap at your skin. I bled in three places the first time. Went home, this is a true story, got a wet towel. They would burn you, like the guys that worked there, like all teenagers would like burn you with the stuff. I went home. I got a wet towel. I practiced all day until I could crack wood. Then the next time I went into the bathroom, I positioned myself in the corner, crouched down, and when the lights went off, I whipped some fools. And they never whipped me in the towels again. And I can crack wood now with a wet towel. That wasn't necessarily the best job I ever had. So there's the answer to that question. Yeah, I think I was 15 years old that job, too. 1-800-636. That was a walk down memory lane. It was like prison. That is when I learned early on. It doesn't matter how big you are, your size. You pick someone and you go at them. You just, you, because there was one guy, because they put the lights out when I started fighting back, and there was one guy who clearly just wasn't into it, and I just whipped the holy hell out of that guy with the towel. That was a moment. 1-800-636-8686, RomanHepatake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. It sure sounds like Aaron Rodgers, by the way, is coming back. And it's an interesting conclusion to this. We talked at the start of the show about the Aaron Rodgers drama, and we've had a sprinkling of breaking news over the last few hours and insight and perspective from people who are putting things out there about the Packers' incredible quarterback. Here's where we're at. It's expectation. It's not certainty. It is reported, but it's not locked down. The feeling that Aaron Rodgers will play this year. Now, we don't know if he's going to show up on Wednesday or not. Maybe he'll show up on Thursday. We don't know. Wednesday is when he's supposed to be there. But the expectation that Rodgers is going to play one final season with the Packers, that would certainly link up with A-Rod's last dance-like photo of Jordan and Pippen he put out there, and Devontae Adams did the same thing, and have a goodbye tour. And nothing would surprise me. Not Aaron Rodgers and the Packers underperforming because of the weight of what he's brought on his organization, and not the Packers lifting that trophy at the end of the season, and then 3 days later, A-Rod just crushing Brian Gutekunst, who's the GM. All of it's possible. All of it's in the realm of possibility. Now, there's a few things that have to happen here for this 1 year when I'm done Aaron Rodgers' plan to unfold. One of two things. One, he retires at the end of the year, and maybe that's part of where his head's at. And the other is what Michael Silver, an excellent NFL reporter and someone who's very connected with Aaron Rodgers, tweeted earlier, clearly what A-Rod wants, and that is, let me out of my, I'll play a year, let me out of my deal, and don't franchise tag me. That's a big ask. That's a really big ask for a lot of reasons. Not just because you get nothing in return. I'm not saying the Packers should trade Aaron Rodgers, but what's interesting, if the Packers' perspective is, we're not trading you, and that is their view, that is the reported view that seems to be true. At the end of the day, it's Rodgers who seems to be blinking. If your view is we're not going to trade you, in what scenario on God's green earth does that translate to, but we'll definitely let you go for free and get nothing in return? It doesn't track to me. Now, maybe there's a compromise that they're working on, because here's the reality. The Packers this year, next year, if they accept that Aaron Rodgers is going to play in the National Football League and not play for them, which is what he's asking, right? That's what that would be. I want to be able to go do whatever I want to do a year from now. I'll give you a year, but then I want to go wherever I want. The response from the Packers would be, well, maybe we'll trade you in a year. I don't know if these guys are attainable, but let me just give some names that in theory, you could go get depending on the organization. I'm not a big Dak Prescott guy. And there's a lot of arguments against this because Dak is younger and has a lot more years. But if you take Aaron Rodgers right now and you swap him with Dak Prescott, the Cowboys are contenders. They just are. And I don't think they are with Dak Prescott. I don't. And Jerry Jones said last week, pretty candid terms, I will do anything on earth to win one. And really what he meant is win one now. He's getting older. That's interesting. Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle. He says he does, and he's backed off a little bit. But that was the thing. Russell Wilson for Aaron Rodgers. Two disgruntled, diva-ish quarterbacks who were amazing. It's interesting. It's really interesting. And those are just two examples. The Niners obviously drafted a guy who they think can be a quarterback of the future. But I could see Kyle Shanahan being pretty tempted to make a pretty bold move. Aaron Rodgers is not, with all due respect, Matthew Stafford, who's really good, and maybe makes you contender. Aaron Rodgers is the contender. He brings that with you, and if you have other things to supplement that, life is good. So I hope he plays this year. It's good for the game. I love football. I like sitting on my couch all day, pretending I'm working, telling my wife I have to drink this beer because I'm just trying to earn a living for the family. And the better the games are, you know, the more entertaining it is. So I'm all about Aaron, and I, as a Bears fan, have zero hope or belief whatsoever in my team. So I got Bears fans who will listen to this show or the show I do in the morning and be like, Ryder, dude, stop saying it's cool the Packers win. I'm like, guys, You could roll in, I'm from Dubuque, Iowa, the Wallard High School team. They would find a way to beat the Bears. I don't know how. I don't know what would happen. What is that? Oh, I know what it is. Don't do that. I hate that song. Do you really associate that with victory? I associate it with one great moment in our franchise and then turn it into a parody. Britt looks so proud of himself. Hey, by the way, I'm a fill-in. My job is to make you guys happy and make the show what you guys need it to be. It's an honor to be here. I know Jim's handcuffed you, rightfully so, but you can drop as many drops you need on me. There it is. Can't wait till Wednesday. By the way, broken bricks, fallen fences, damaged doors, Gorilla Glue, of course. Gorilla Glue is incredibly strong, 100% waterproof, and bonds virtually everything. Gorilla Glue for the toughest jobs on planet Earth. You're a character, bro. I'm not going to lie. Every time. What was that? Give me again.
It's lit!
Alvin's really good at that. Alvin is really good at the drops. You hit buttons and the noises come. Although I would be terrible. How many pieces of sound we think are in there? 1,500? 2,000? Alvin's a machine. I'm listening to the show sometimes and I hear Jim talking and just the perfect sound drops in. It's pretty amazing. All right, so you got me on Wednesday. You got me next week, Monday and Wednesday. Absolute pleasure being here. Love doing the show. We'll talk Aaron Rodgers a lot on Wednesday. That's the day he's supposed to report, of course. I sort of got into Oklahoma, Texas. I might hit that in a couple days if it's still in the news. Thank you for listening on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for watching on CBS Sports Network. Thank you to the guys. My name is Bill Ryder. This show is the Jim Rome Show. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to have the chance to fill in.